In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Trinity, one in essence. Good morning, my beloved in Christ Jesus. It's been a while since I've given a sermon at the Sunday liturgy. Father Andrew is at St. Nicholas today at the tonsure of his nephew as a reader. So we're very happy for them. He's a wonderful young man. I'd like to start out with a story that happened to me some 40 years ago while I was on the faculty at Loma Linda University Medical School. I was asked by a friend to give a talk about the Orthodox Church. It was to an elite group of lay people and theologians who were interested in the theology and faith of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They were called the Adventist Forum. I started out by saying that the very center of the Orthodox faith is not simply a theology or an ideology, or a system of thoughts, or a system of moral codes, but is the three persons of God himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, begotten of the Father from eternity, and the Holy Spirit who proceeded from him also eternally. The Holy Trinity, who is revealed to us human beings as God. Then, this is the important part, now we move from theology to the rest of it. I said to them, the word Trinity is not in the Holy Scriptures. It is not in the Bible. The knowledge that our Lord Jesus Christ is fully God, in the same way that God, the Father, is God, in the same way that the Holy Spirit is God, is not explicitly stated in the Holy Scriptures. But it is interpretation of the words of Scripture by those in the one Holy Catholic Apostolic Orthodox Church. This was handed down to us from generation to generation, in our prayers, in our hymns, in our saints, and in our councils. People immediately started murmuring. There were 400 people in the room. One lady shouted at me, "You're a heretic." Imagine calling an Orthodox a heretic. They're kind of exact opposite, but of course the word Trinity is in the Bible, she told me. I didn't argue. I like Jesus. I kept silent. But their theologians who knew I was right, and this posed a great difficulty for them. A great difficulty. Because if it's not in the Bible, how is it the central aspect of the Christian faith? How? Because the church said it was? That would be an admission that would be inadmissible to them. You see, my beloved in Christ, the faith did not start with Ellen G. White in the 1800s, who was the founder of the Adventist faith. It did not start with Martin Luther in the 1500s. It did not start with Pope Leo IX in the 1000s. It did not start with Blessed Augustine in the 400s. It started with our Lord Jesus Christ's teaching to his apostles, who were empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the one Holy Catholic Orthodox Church. This church continues to this day, and by our own Lord's words, will be here till the end of the age, till the end of the world. So we have no fear. This Sunday, as we celebrate the memory of the Holy Orthodox Fathers, the 318 of the First Ecumenical Council, we cannot puff up our chests and raise our heads high in triumphalism, but rather we must bow down to the ground in tears to serve our fellow Christians who have been separated from this holy faith by history, and it is no fault of their own. It is, however, our duty to preserve this faith in our preaching, in our teaching, and most importantly, in the way we live our lives, something that's frequently neglected. Christianity is not an ideology, it is a way of life. This way of life we must preserve to our dying breath. We, all of us, must transmit this faith to our children. And I, as a priest, to you, my children in the spirit. All of you are a part of my heart and of my spirit, and we are a part of each other. That is what the Church of God is. Many may be divided from the church for one reason or another, many good reasons. But the church herself can never be divided. It is one. St. Paul, listen very carefully. There is one body, and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So you see, my beloved in Christ, our faith rests on those who have gone before us. We indeed stand on the shoulders of giants. In the gospel of today, the Lord says, Father, I have given them the words which you have spoken. I've given them the words which you have spoken. Later on, he says, and they have kept it. They've guarded it. They've preserved it. Just a bit later in verse 20, it's not in today's pericope, the Lord says, I do not pray for these alone. The Lord Jesus. I do not pray for these alone, but also for all of those who will believe in me through their word. Through their word, the faith is passed from generation to generation. How did I end up in this faith? I have no idea. I know it was from my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents. Many of you have found this faith, and you will give it to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, God willing. Through their word, it is through them that we believe in Jesus Christ. That's why we call the church apostolic. That's why we call the church one. For Jesus Christ is one. He cannot have many bodies. This continues in the second and the third centuries through much persecution and suffering. Early fourth century, imagine, a preacher started teaching a different Christ from that which the church believed. It caused a great disturbance in the church, and yet most of the, quote, Orthodox bishops went after him because they thought it was an easy solution to unite everyone. Unity took precedence over the truth. The 318 Holy Fathers gathered at the Ecumenical Council. They came wounded. They came wounded, bloody, missing limbs, burned, faces tortured, like St. Paphnutius, who had his eyes gouged out because he confessed the faith in Christ. They came persecuted, like St. Nicholas, St. Athanasius, St. Spiridon, to proclaim Christ as he is known and loved in the church. At that time, probably, there was much disturbance. I can't even imagine. We think we're in hard times. They the Arians, the people that followed this teacher, had divided themselves from the very church that had given them life. But a few of these blessed men stood up and defended our Orthodox faith, which has been given to us. Every time we say the Nicene Creed in the church, we proclaim this faith to this day. What an absolute miracle that we still have this faith, which has been transmitted to us over 21 centuries of the church's life. Again, I warn you that you not be puffed up with pride. Somehow God has brought us all to this holy faith in one way or another. It is a gift that comes from above. It is not from our own self. This gift comes not with a privilege. We are not privileged, but we have a grave responsibility. We have the responsibility, each one of us, to know the faith, to enter into the faith, to preserve this faith. In humility and meekness, but more than anything, we preserve this faith when we love each other and we love the whole world. We love every human being that comes into this world, for Christ died for the entire world. We never proclaim our faith to dominate others with our arguments, but rather so that all, every human being, has the opportunity to hear about and accept the love of our Lord Jesus Christ by keeping his commandments. By keeping his commandments. This is our salvation. He is the Christ who is one flesh with the church. He is one flesh with us. He is our head and we are his body. This is not a metaphor. Let us end with the words of the Blessed Paul. A man shall leave his father and his mother and cling unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, because I speak of Christ and his church. Amen.